Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of world-renowned psychotherapist Dr. Pat Allen for more than 50 years. The Want Institute offers help and guidance with relationship and communication tools. We currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. We also offer one-on-one relationship coach communication coaching. If you want more information on our monthly ladies groups or one-on-one coaching, please call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com, and our website address is www.drpatallen.com, drpatallen.com. The ladies groups start the first week of each month. Also, please stay tuned to our 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time show, in which Patricia Eltinge, Dr. Pat Allen's colleague, will interpret your dreams. Before we get started, please grab a pen and paper so you can write down the call-in number. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you call the switchboard, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the call back as well as enter the number in your contact list to eliminate the call going to spam. So I have on the call, I have on our show here, Dr. Pat Allen. Are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you want to say anything to the audience?
To be back on the air.
Yes, that's good. Anything, any words of wisdom you want to share with the audience before we have one of your former students come on?
Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character, masculine or feminine. Be careful of your character. It becomes your destiny at work, home, and in your life.
I know that you have some ladies groups going on. You have the April one coming up. It's already full. But do you want to tell the audience a little bit about what your groups, what the ladies do and learn in your groups?
What they do is they get married, they have babies, they are doing what they want as women. And I help them communicate.
Yeah. The groups are, she has like 9 groups. There's 5 ladies in each group. There's different days and times. It's a 4-week commitment, and most of the ladies in there have been in the same group for the last year and a half. So the spaces are hard. It's hard to get into the group. So that's why Kelly and myself, we have some groups as going on as well that you can join ours until Dr. Allen's groups open up, and we're happy to transition you over to Dr. Allen. Anything else you want to share with the audience?
I want to hear whatever they want to bring me to them with.
Okay.
I am anxiously waiting to serve.
Okay. Tonight we have a special guest. She used to be a student. She was trained by you for, she's a communication coach, educator of effective communication. We have Kathy Katz on the line. Kathy, are you there? Are you available?
Yes. Yes. Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah.
When exactly did we start relating to each other?
Oh, wow. I want to say it was about 40 years ago when I attended your first seminar. And I think at that time you were at a little church in Costa Mesa.
And so what was the result of your studying with me? What happened to you?
Oh, my. So many wonderful things. Attending all those Wednesday nights for many, many years, I actually changed jobs, got a college degree, and the man of my dreams showed up in my life. And I had the honor of having you attend our wedding. And that was about 27 years ago. So I am very grateful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, thank you. And I've been sharing your message for about 13 years, ever since I got certified in WANT training and transactional analysis.
Do I want to do what?
I've been sharing your message for about 13 years.
I want to do it now.
Okay, well, I'm ready for my question for you. The book that I use every time I coach is your Getting to I Do book, which is my favorite book. Chapter 5, you ask ladies, are you the woman you think you are? And a lot of women have a difficult time understanding what a narcissist is. And in your questioning in the questionnaire, it's on page 64 for everyone who's wondering which page it's on. One of the options is to discover if you want to be cherished or respected or you're a narcissist.
Yes.
And I want to know from you, how does an individual become a narcissist?
How they become
a narcissist
that gets nothing.
No, how does a person become a narcissist?
How they become
they want to be cherished.
Are you speaking of a religious nun or what?
No, none. You're getting it's a narcissist, not nun. Narcissist.
Oh, a narcissist.
Yes.
Okay, I want you to understand that when a baby is conceived, it gets the benefit of one of the 16 personalities. And that means that each of us are individuals starting from the first moment that the sperm and the egg get together, because from that moment on, you're studying your I-ness. And I want to share with the audience now, if you want to know what your temperament is, there are 16 temperaments that you're born with, and you can read about it in the book, Please Understand Me by Marilyn Bates, B-A-T-E-S, and David Kiersey. K-E-I-R-E-Y, and they wrote this book, and the test is in there. You will know if you're masculine, you'll know if you're feminine, you will know if you don't like it, that you want to be both, and that's called narcissism. Narcissism is when you want to be respected for power, and you want to be cherished for love. But the problem is, whoever wants to love you has to be a zero starting by the age of 3, because that's when language comes in. So when you started out with me, what did you come up with as far as the temperament is concerned?
Well, I discovered I wanted to be respected more than cherished.
And that meant your daddy wanted a boy, not a girl.
Initially,
is that
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And were you a slave to any people?
A slave? I don't think I was a slave, but I was probably a giver.
Did you love them better than you?
At times, yes.
And what was the result of that?
It wasn't good because you helped me.
Wait a minute. The audience is waiting for symptoms. What's the symptom of a Wounded Woman, which is a great book by Linda Leonard.
Yes.
It's a book where a father wants a boy, not a girl, and he constantly tries to train her to be a boy, to do good, to feel good, not the girl, which is feel good, to do good. When a man has a mother that wanted a girl, that boy is going to be castrated by the age of 11 because mom wants him to feel good so bad that she mothers him out of manhood, because nature has built us to be biologically, our brains and our guts are designed for our sex. And too many mothers want girls instead of boys, and too many fathers want boys instead of girls. So I want to remind you, if you want to find out what God, nature created, please get the book, Please Understand Me. Take the test and call back, and I will read. Well, the book is going to tell you what the test says, but if you want to talk to me about it, that's what I do, and especially in getting to I do, because whenever you want to get married, you have to decide if you want to be the powerful, respected, masculine, do good to feel good and everybody respects you, or you want to be the feminine, cherishable, who wants to feel good even if your husband doesn't make any money and you can't get him to stop drinking. If that happens, you now realize you're married to a man who's really a woman in a man's body. There's a wonderful book by John Sanford beside my book, Getting to I Do, and it's called The Invisible Partners: How the Male and Female in Each of Us Affects Our Relationships. So with that in mind, the soul of a man is his anima, feminine. The soul of a woman is her animus, that's her masculine, and she will practice it as her script dictates, which is what you learn from your family, your culture, your life, so that you for a long time practiced mothering your man. Is that correct?
Not when I got married, no. No.
I know, no, but how did you get married to him when he wanted respect?
Oh, thanks to your books and your seminars. I learned the difference.
So you got married 20-some years ago?
Yes.
And are you still a woman, or have you become a man?
No, I'm still a woman.
You what?
I'm still a woman, and I did marry a real man.
Okay. And so with that in mind, what do you suggest that the people that are listening do? Make a decision.
Yes. And to read the book, Getting to I Do, and fill out the questionnaire that you have. It's in chapter 5, Are You the Woman You Think You Are? And discover if you want to be cherished more than respected, respected more than cherished, or if you want equal, which is narcissism. And I wanted to thank you for bringing up Wounded Woman by Dr. Linda Leonard. You've referred that book to so many, and for the new listeners, it's an incredible book. The other books I was going to remind you of, Dr. Pat, was Manning Up. Remember Manning Up by Horowitz? And War Against Boys. That was another good one, too.
I've done a lot of books, and you are an example of the winner, right?
Thank Thank you. Yes. Thank you very, very much.
And one of my favorite questions, or do you have
one of my favorite quotes? One of my favorite quotes, I'll say goodbye, is Dr. Pat says, lovable women are more productive than productive women are lovable.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. And good. And Kathy Katz, she has a Monday night book club that she offers. She knows all of Dr. Allen's books and other books. You can reach Kathy at talktokathy@verizon.net. And it's a C, talktokathy@verizon.net. Kathy, do you have any more questions or information you want to ask Dr. Pat while you're on today? Tell her.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know how much time we have left, but I was going to ask her, Dr. Pat, what is the reason there seems to be more rebellious children in the world?
There's more what?
Rebellious children. They're rebellious.
What happens? What are you saying about the kids?
There's more rebellious kids. Rebellious.
Oh, rebellion?
Yeah, kids, children.
I'm referring you now to a therapist in Los Angeles, Dan Siegel, and his books. I am totally aware of good people, and boys need to be respected by their mothers, and girls need to be cherished by their fathers, or they end up, instead of being a girl, they become a boy, and we know recently the rampage that girl did on that school, and I'm sorry to say that that's a script that shows up, and it's Dan Siegel.
He's got the book Brainstorm and the whole Brain Child. You can find all of his books on Amazon, Daniel Siegel.
Child, and then there's one for teenagers, which is, as you can see, the teenagers are coming out of the woodwork killing us. And this book explains that the bodies of teenagers are switching to more dopamine sexuality, and they don't produce enough serotonin to quiet it down. So they get out there and they do criminal things. I wish I could get every government official a copy of Brainstorm.
I have a question. I have a question. Do you think all the fast food and the sugar is contributing to these children and they're being rebellious and out of control?
What was the first sentence?
Do you think that fast food and the food, the diets, the sugar and the fast food and all the junk food?
I want you to understand that sugar is duplicating cocaine. I have the article in front of me right now, and it says, do sugar and cocaine have in common? They produce stimulants, which causes kids, especially teenagers, who are getting all juiced up with hormones. It's teaching them to take horrible chances, many of them criminal. I hope to God that somebody listening right now saves a life by understanding that sugar is addictive. Drugs are addictive. And if you take them, you are insane. So Dan Siegel, LA therapist, and a man who really writes well for children and parents. Okay?
Got it. Okay. The book is called Brainstorm, and he's got a whole bunch of other books too. It's Daniel Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, Daniel Siegel.
Good. Excellent. Kathy, do you have any other questions I can respond to?
I believe that was it. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Good.
Thank you, Sue, for inviting me.
Okay. And don't forget, if you want to, Kathy has her book clubs on Monday nights. It's Talk to Kathy with a C at Verizon.net. And Kathy, we'd love to have you back on the show again if you get some more good questions for Dr. Allen.
Okay. It'll be my pleasure. Thank you again. Bye.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, Pat,
thank
do you want to
Kathy.
Tell? Yeah, Kathy's an old-time student. I've known her for many years as well. She's got a bubbly personality, and she knows her books up and down. So
yes.
She'd be a good one to go to a book club if you want to dissect books. She knows a lot of good ones. So, Dr. Allen, do you have any other question, any other information you want to share with the audience?
What I've shared with the audience is about parenting kids. What I want to share about couples is that when you meet somebody and you're wanting to date and you want to relate, the first thing you've got to remember is that today marriage is more of friends getting together and having sex, but that's not spiritual enough. So what I teach and what people get married with is the idea that if you want to be with somebody very committed, that you not have intercourse until they're willing to be monogamous, continuously date you, and aiming towards marriage like you are. Otherwise, you will get used as a receptacle for sex, which is not making love, and you basically will be dumped within 3 years. So I would really like it if right now or the next week somebody calls and asks questions about what does it take to get married today.
Well, can you answer?
Read my book, Getting to I Do.
And you also have another book. What's the other book you have
This book has my tools in it.
Yes.
Which is good. It's called It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. Men, if they're not spiritually trained to love and make love, use women's bodies for seminal receptacles, and women get mad about that and either hurt themselves or don't learn how to get married. So
yeah.
If you're out there and you have never heard me on the radio like I used to be regularly, but then we adjusted, now I'm back. And I'm willing to teach what got me where I'm at.
Yeah, we'll have. Yeah.
Pardon?
No, I was going to say, I was just letting that you're going to be back every week. We had problems phone and there were a lot of technical difficulties, but she'll be back in the future from 4 till 4:50 to talk and share. And we'll have guests to ask questions. So she'll be back.
Totally amazed. There's a lady actually having a baby that she and her boyfriend eventually became committed and created a baby. And many people have started following my tools, which are in the book, Man's World, Woman's Universe. We're in charge of oxygen. Men are in charge of things. But women had better not be a thing. You better be a woman who loves herself and requires it when she gets married. So please, audience, pick my brain. I've had a good time for 52 years, and I want to continue. And the only reason I had trouble was technical with these little machines. So I'm back.
And we couldn't figure out her phone, so we had to get a new phone and have a tech guy come there. It was a nightmare, folks, because she kept cutting out.
But right.
She does have openings in her ladies groups, which are once a month. A 4-week commitment. Her groups are 5 ladies. It's $200 a month. I do have an ongoing wait list, but a lot of times when I contact the ladies, they don't reach back to me. So you even if you call me or you get on the list now, you can get in the next couple months. So call me at 949-723-0338 or email me at info@drpatallen.com. And you can get on Dr. Allen's wait list. And if you're in a hurry, you can work with me and Kelly for a few weeks or months until you do get into Dr. Allen's group. We teach the tools and communication. Yes, we teach the communication tools. I have a couple of ladies that are shifting. They're very masculine, and it takes a little bit of push to get them into their feminine because they're so used to being masculine. It's a hard shift.
That's very, very true. Does anybody at this moment have a question they want to give me before we go?
We don't have any callers yet. We have Patricia Eltidge. You want to talk to Patricia Eltidge and we can take callers, or what do you prefer?
I want to talk to Patricia Eltidge to see what she got from learning from me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Patricia, are you available? You want to chime in?
Hi, Dr. Pat, it's me, Patricia.
And what did you do, and how long have we known each other?
We've known each other, it's almost 30 years now, and if it wasn't for you and your tools and your system that you developed and created...
Semantic realignment is biological. That's the name of my doctoral.
Yes. And if it wasn't for you,
tactical realignment.
Yes. Okay. Anyway,
and
because what I got from all of that in this long term of knowing you and being close and studying with you is how grateful I am to be in a loving, supportive relationship with a wonderful man. And it's a blessing. It's been a blessing for me. I've been married in the past, and I had a good marriage, but as we divorced, and now knowing so much more, I eliminated the issues and my behaviors for my current relationship, which is flourishing. And thanks to you, thanks to Dr. Pat Allen and the tools. And I also am very grateful for you pushing me into my career of being a dream analyst and mentoring me.
You were so gifted at what I taught you and other deep people taught you. You were so gifted, I kept pushing you to become a teacher.
I know. You pushed me, all right. You did push me. And I didn't go willingly at first. And now I have a great following, and I'm doing seminars and teaching all over. And I travel for work. I go to conferences. And I thank you for the push.
I want you to know that you became more of who you were meant to be in nature. You have mated with a nice, nice man, and you have contributed to mankind tremendously, and you are participating in this program starting tonight and going on every Thursday. I go on at 4.
Yep.
And
yep.
You come along.
Yep.
And that's perfect. Okay.
Yes. Yes, it is. So it's just perfect.
Whoever's out there, I'm here for men as well as women, and I will answer your questions honestly and scientifically. So I'm asking you to please listen.
Okay, now that you gave everybody else, you can give me my pump up. Talk about Susie, your daughter.
Susie is not just my daughter, she's a trainer. She has been listening and working in my school, Watt Institute. And Susie and Kelly Ward are student experts of what Watt Institute teaches. Please don't wait for Pat Allen. God works miracles through many people that are virtuous. And Watt Institute sells God's science of virtue in a practical way. So Susie is a wonderful daughter and a wonderful teacher and a magnificent business manager. Otherwise, I don't think I would be where I'm at right now because of the difficulties with the technology. So this is God speaking that I'm not done working, even if I'm 88 years old. So come and pick my brain and deal with Susie, who will help you stay in training.
Thank you. Do you want to talk anymore? Patricia will be on. Patricia takes calls. Do you want to take calls too, or what? What do you want? Tell us what you prefer, Dr. Allen.
I want Patricia to have her day in the sun tonight.
Okay.
So that we each have our. I teach mainly getting to I do. Men and women raising kids. Patricia mainly does her dream analysis. Tonight, at least, we can do multiple complex other weeks, but we don't want to tangle it up too much.
Okay. Are you going to, you'll be back next week? And we're having Kelly Ward come back next week, too. Will be a guest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're going to rotate. If anybody out there is listening.
Kelly Ward is a paralegal, and she's wonderful when it comes to bumping into legal issues in relationships as families, as businesses, as men, as women.
And just for the audience, I know that some people are in areas where this is too late. If you want, you can always email your questions to info at Dr. Pat Allen, and I'd be happy to tell them over the radio to Dr. Allen, and you can listen to them on the archives. So again, you can reach me at info@drpatallen.com. Send me an email question. Keep it kind of to the point, we just need the main points. I don't want paid of it. That would be too much. But questions, and I'd be happy to ask Dr. Allen on the show. And then you can listen to the answers on the archives. So with that, thank you for joining us, Dr. Allen. We'll let you go. And then Patricia and I will stay on and carry on.
I want people to understand we are a nonprofit organization because we work for God and science, not money.
Okay. Do you have any closing words?
I just gave them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I just did my taxes as a nonprofit. So well, when you want to give something to somebody, feel free to call up and work with us and then give us a donation so that we can continue the Watt Institute, because that's what we're working for.
We have products. You can buy our books and tapes. In the ladies' groups, there are a fee. But if you want to make a donation to keep the radio show, we appreciate it. We have a donation link on our website. We do the best. We do the best we can to keep the doors open and the radio show going.
Today is our inaugural beginning of the Complex Want Institute. But we are known by the radio station as being attractive to people.
Yes, we have a large following with that. So we'll let Patricia and I will carry on and see if we have any callers, and then we'll take some dream interpretations. So we'll see you next week with Kelly Ward, and we'll have a bunch more questions for you.
Good, good, good. And have a great time with your dream analysis.
Okay,
Patricia,
thank you.
Go to book, Dream Class.
Thank you, Pat. Good night. Thank you so much. Good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Sam at the switchboard, see if we have any callers.
Well, that was great hearing from Dr. Pat.
Yes, it was. She's back and kicking and everything.
And it's wonderful for us to be able to express our gratitude to her as well for everything she's done for us.
Yes. I don't know if we have any. I do have a...
Oh, hello?
Yes, you're on the call with Patricia Eltinge tonight. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm engaged, but I don't know if I am anymore.
Well, that's okay. It's just like a bumpy road. There was a Desi and Lucy movie called The Bumpy Road to Love, and it's up and down until you close the deal. So what's going on?
Well, the man has been wonderful, but I did call in before a few times he's a little flirty in public with other women, even though he adores me and loves me and everything, and it makes me very insecure thinking he may, he's interested in the other person too.
Well, so I might say, go ahead.
So fast forward, we did go to eat, and the waitress, he seemed too friendly. I don't need to get into details, learning all about her, a little stuff about the restaurant. Like, it was a little too much. And he did talk me up a little bit, but I did feel like it was a little overboard. And then on the next day, he met one of my friends, and she's a little older, and then she showed him a picture of her and her husband that passed away when she was younger, and he said, "Wow, you are hot."
Well, he's a man. First of all, men are visual, and his style of relating may be not what you were used to seeing in your family or how you grew up, but he was used to being an autonomous individual before he met and got engaged to you. And he's not used to a new system that could be your system. And that's why we have communication on what seems to make you feel bad, what behaviors you need to share with him that make you feel bad. But then you also, what the French women know is to have a man on a leash, but a very long leash, because otherwise they feel constrained. And so while he has been coming forward and wanting to be engaged to you, it doesn't mean he's going to go off with somebody else, but it's your turn to say to him at times, and also look at your way of attachment, your way of relating is different than his way. So you can say to him sometimes, I have something sensitive to talk to you about. Is this a good time? And you say, when you did this at the, he says, yes, now when, okay. Then you say, well, when we were at the restaurant and you were, I felt insecure. You come from a feeling place, but first you acknowledge that he has a right to flirt with or talk to whomever. However, you have to come from your feeling-centered place, not making him wrong. This is how you two can learn about each other's style. And then
yeah,
you can
I
say,
think he's going to like go to the next step of cheating, you know, that's going to go from flirting to...
That's what you think, but that's because you're in your head and you're not communicating your feelings of insecurity. If you share that with him, he will try to make you feel better.
Right. So fast forward, the last, thank you, that was good information. The last thing would happen today, you know, I did not get intimate with him yet yesterday. And I was feeling like he wasn't listening to my emotions or whatever. Usually I am intimate all the time, and then I
intimate
whatever.
In what way intimate?
Sex.
Okay. Well, so you were punishing him for, in your terms, bad behavior. You felt like you were feeling like punishing him. You wanted to punish him.
Yes, but it was also a little sick.
When men or women withhold sex for punishment, and use that rather than using their words, that's a downward spiral in the relationship.
Well, what happened was after that, I went to take a shower. I was angry. Yeah, I was annoyed.
You know why
angry.
You were angry? Because you didn't use your words.
Of his flirting.
But you didn't use your words. If you use communication, you don't stay angry.
Yeah, I
because
did.
You give him a chance to help you feel better about a situation.
Yeah, he keeps doing the same thing with
but
the
you're
flirting.
Not communicating is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
If you communicate your feelings in the system that Sue, Kelly, Pat teaches, the communication tools are golden for helping you alleviate your anger and then punishing someone because you're angry about their behavior when it can be alleviated through communication.
Okay. Yeah, because I start feeling like I'm not being heard. And
but
then
you're not being heard because you're not trying to communicate. What's heard? What have you said?
Well, he didn't want to talk last night.
You asked to talk? Did you ask to talk?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Okay.
He wasn't wanting to, and I guess that's what happened. And then, well, the point part was I took a shower, and I think he popped in, like, in the bathroom. I come out. He's gone completely.
Yeah. Is this at your place or his?
Mine. He took off he was angry, and he also took his shaving cream kit, which he always leaves in his.
Well, that is how he's punishing you back for punishing him from withholding sex. You see,
right. So then
no
I, in
that system.
Right. So I called him two times, and then he didn't answer. And then I did text. It was a decent text. It wasn't nasty. I just said how he was feeling. I was hurt and this and that. And he just texted me saying, well, not nasty. He says, I felt very unwelcome there. And I laughed it at that, you know.
Well, you were both, let's hear, let me just tell you something. You were both in your feelings, and that's never going to work. So you by withholding six, you put him in his feelings. You're angry with your feelings. So the two of you are two women who are going to duke it out and have a bitch fight. So this is what we want to avoid.
He gets into his feelings a lot, that I have to kind of, I'll comfort him. He'll do something.
Well, this is not going to work.
He starts crying, and then I have. No, he's in his feelings a lot, and then I have to comfort him. And I'm, you know, I guess being a guy, and I'm comforting him when he does something, and I have to. That bothers me. And he's good, and he's very generous and sweet and kind, but. There's other things, you know, it's the jealousy stuff, you know, I don't know if it's a game with him or what. And then, so you laughed and I left it alone. And, then I did get contact from his child, you know, thanking me for something. So I thought that was nice and I responded nicely. I am leaving it alone. My question after all of this, Now I do social media, mm-hmm. and I find myself on there and checking a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, is he on?
So you're playing cops and robbers now, which is another game we don't recommend because that's just it stirs up your brain chemistry, the norepinephrine.
It does.
Yes, it does. Thinking, and it makes you further angry, and you're
right.
creating this cycle of aggression. And somebody's got to stop it, or this is doomed.
And we went away, and he got a phone call at 12, and I said, "Who's that?" You know. And then he went on his phone, and then I checked. He was on Facebook, and like we're away. It's 12, like. 12 o'clock, because then I'm thinking it was he's texting women, and I don't know, I felt like that was inappropriate. We're away, and at 12 o'clock at night, he's on Facebook.
Well, that's another time when when you have a conversation, say, darling, you have every right to be on a Facebook or anything, however, I'm not comfortable with it while we're away together and we're in a private time. That's a point of time, space, money, and play when you're getting into an intimate relationship. So would you be, what do you think about not going on your phone when we're together and after a certain hour, whether you decide the hour, and then you say, what do you think about that? So that, again, those are communication skills that can head these things off at the pass. If you learn the skills, if you learn the tools of communication in this way, it's very methodical and easy to learn, right, Sue? These communication tools.
Yes, they are. But also I was going to say, because she says her guy is in his feelings a lot. How old is he? Because doesn't that maybe the
yes.
change?
Seven, early 70s. I'm younger.
Okay. There, Patricia may have some more info.
Yes, I do. Well, when a man is
over... I didn't want to cut in.
I wanted you to. Thank you. When a man is in his 70s, when he's in over 50, he's starting to be aware of his feelings more than he was before he was 50. So he's aware of his feelings, but it's how he manages his feelings that's important. Even more importantly, for you to use the tools so that he stays in his masculine thinking, rational mind, rather than wallowing in his feelings. So rather than comforting him and letting him wallow in his feelings, then that turns into mothering on your part. So what?
So don't comfort him anymore with the hugging. Okay.
No, exactly. Don't do that. But say, I sense by your reaction, or I sense by your state of being right now that you're not happy. Am I right? Immediately that puts him in his thinking and he says, I'm not happy. Okay, then you say, well, what can I do to help us do better?
Okay. I'll do that. And
what can I do? But rather than soothing him like he's a little baby.
Oh, yeah, I'm soothing him.
No,
exactly.
You don't want to soothe him. You want to ask him verbally what I sense. Get this. I sense by your tones, gestures, and postures, whatever it is at the moment. I sense by your crying, whining, bitching, moaning that you're not in a good place right now. Am I right? He says, yes, I'm in a bad place right now and I'm upset. What can I do to help us and help you do better?
Okay.
Try it and call us back next week and see.
I will. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Shift. Now that you got some good, you got some good coaching here today.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, caller. That was a good one. She's a regular caller, but we never did find out how old her guy was. I kind of thought he was older from the first time she told him.
Well, that's a very good point brought up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Because men become more aware of their feelings when they're young.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air with Patricia Elton. Do you have a question or a dream?
I have both.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, for you.
Hi, thank you guys for taking my call. I wanted to get I've been learning a lot and taking it all in and loving all of it. But I had heard a couple of the radio shows that left me a little bit confused. So I wanted to really dive into the tools and the concept. I love the girl that was just on and you guys were giving great advice about the feeling tone. But I remember one time I was confused because there was this girl that was dating a porn director and he was like messaging the actresses, hey, great, you know, and like kind of vulgar for most people. And so she was feeling like, oh my God, like that's terrible and I don't like it. And during that call, she was advised that, hey, it's none of your business. If he doesn't stick his penis in her, then it's fine. So I'm wondering, where is that gray area? Because she was like, oh, okay, well, is it because he works in the porn industry that makes it okay for him to just,
business to him. Yeah, that's work. That's his business.
Oh, okay.
And maybe she is too sensitive or too square to handle dating somebody in that field.
Okay. That does make more sense because I was like, oh, well, she's in her feelings. So,
well, if she's uncomfortable with it, then maybe she could incrementally desensitize to the fact that that's his business. Or if she is that thin skinned that she can't handle that, then she could look elsewhere for another mate.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted clarification about the 8 week, reaching out, especially with like newer connections. If in a way, what am I missing here? Because if someone is connecting with you and let's say you went on a date and then they just disappear for 4 weeks and they come back and it's cool, like nobody's mad, we go on another date. Couldn't they in theory disappear for another 4 weeks? And then is that just a matter of just saying like, hey, you know what? At what point is 8 weeks no longer valid if they just keep doing that? Or
that's up to you. They can do it forever, however long you're willing to handle it. But there's nothing wrong with people just touching base to see if you want a date, but you're obviously not, they're not going towards a relationship. They're only going towards a relationship if they're contacting you weekly. But the 8 week thing is, yes, they're ruminating to see if you're better than anything else out there. And then they start investing in you, investing time, money, gifts, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, because I viewed those type of guys then if there is someone kind of in that bubble where if they disappear for a week or two and then come back, just, you know,
they're just a date. They're just one of the dates on out there. They're just one of the fishes in the sea until they start dating you.
That
on a regular basis.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make it make sense in my head. And then is it ever appropriate when, like, for example, there's a couple guys that I met on the dating app and it's newer connections, but one of them was very sick, and like it was nice of him to you know, keep updating me, hey, I'm sick, but I still would love to talk as soon as I'm better. I felt a great impulse to say, oh my gosh, I hope you feel better.
No,
and like, I know, and I didn't do it, but then I felt bad. Is that just like, I'm just trained like poorly?
Yes. Yeah. It's an instinct. Many men will bait you to see if you're the mothering type. And there's nothing wrong with helping a mate, boyfriend, a husband, a fiance, when they're sick, if somebody's sick and they ask you for help and they want to know that a woman isn't completely cold-hearted and will dump them in the ditch. So
you kick them to the curb.
Yeah, kick them to the curb, but you don't want to run before you're called.
Okay. Okay, yeah, because we've just talked on the phone. We haven't met in person, and he was updating me on his sickness, and I didn't respond.
You good, good girl, good girl.
Call me when you're better. And it
that's
just
right.
Bad,
just stick with that until he asks you for help or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Ask
Is it ever appropriate to reach out to the guy? Like, if we went on a great first date, would you guys, you always wait for them, right? You don't ever say, hey, I had a great date.
Sue?
when you're leaving, you never call them, you never reach back after the end of the date. When you leave and you say goodbye, you tell them, I had a great date. That signals them you're interested. And then they have to pick up the lead to call you back for another date or check in with you and say they had a good date.
Okay. Yeah, that is what that was my instinct after following you guys for a bit.
Good, good, good.
It's
good.
Funny because there's some male relationship coaches out there, and they say, no, you can call them and it makes a man feel good.
We don't care about their feelings.
Exactly. I was like, that is not what Dr. Pat Allen would say.
Well, there's so many coaches, and each one has their own little niche. You have to do what's comfortable and what you feel good doing. And chasing men, you don't want to be chasing men. Not in the beginning. When you're in a relationship, you can be a little bit more open and contact him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to chase. So that was it because I'm just starting this online dating thing. And so, thank you guys for answering those questions. And I would love to share this dream that I had and see your guys' interpretation about it.
Okay.
Patricia, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
So there is I have to go to court for something that's happening in my life. Mm-hmm. And I've been a little bit stressed about it. And I'm looking for legal representation, right? And there's this one person that showed up, this one attorney. And I was like, oh, I think I want to go with her. And then last night I had a dream that I got her. And in the dream, I was so happy. But I think because this whole thing is very stressful for me, I don't know. I was wondering, does that mean like, yes, for sure, this is your person since you were so happy in your dream that you got her?
Oftentimes, this is a message dream. There are different types of dreams. And since it's almost like you had put that in your Lyman state before you went to sleep because you've been ruminating about it from what you said, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. now you have put that in your subconscious mind and it gave you the answer. Typically, but in this dream to correlate and connect the dots to your waking life, you are talking from your head. You are making a rational decision because women in our dreams represent our masculine side, which is our productive side, business, finances. And this incident, the situation in your waking life is definitely to do with your masculine side. It's a legal matter. So mm-hmm. you are in, it doesn't mean you're going to pick her per se, but it means you will make your choice rationally. And in this instance, you don't go from your gut, your feeling centeredness. Because this is a business situation, you must make your decision. And your subconscious mind told me this, that you, what are the rational reasons why you would pick one person or the other? So think about it very rationally, because that's where your subconscious mind is leading you.
Okay. Okay. That does make sense. And
you're not going to come from a feeling centered fuzzy wuzzy state. You're going to come from a mental rational state choice.
Okay. And as far as the dream goes, that was probably because I was just thinking about it right before bed, and I was
absolutely hoping. Absolutely right. And it gave you the answer, but it didn't mean her per se. It meant how you are going to choose.
Okay.
Whether it's her or somebody else, but you will be doing it rationally.
I see. Because it was a woman in the dream.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, caller. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. We have very calm talking people tonight. Did you notice that?
Yeah, sometimes. Well, maybe the moon is in a certain phase.
I don't know. It's like everybody's all calm. There's no up and down with the tones.
I think maybe because the planets are all lined up from the moon.
Hi, you're on the call. You're on the air with Patricia Eltins. Do you have a dream or a question for Patricia?
Hi, Sue. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. Oh, yeah, I recognize that voice.
All right. So the widower. Uh-huh.
Okay.
The widower, we've gone out 2 weeks consecutively. Sometimes we don't, but
okay.
He invited me over to his home for St. Patrick's Day. He cooked corned beef and cabbage and cornbread and all that stuff.
Oh boy, fun.
And I ate with his children. So when I walked in the house, the adoptive daughter said, "Happy belated birthday. How was your trip to San Francisco?" And each time I've been over there and they've been there, there's been something about me that they know.
He talks about you. It's obvious that he talks about you, and he's incrementally desensitizing them to getting used to you being around.
Okay.
So that people often, when they're widowed, they are afraid the family will think that they're betraying the deceased spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a sense of guilt sometimes. They have to remember that it's a delicate situation, and people are delicate about reintroducing or introducing a new partner incrementally.
Okay.
So it sounds like he's on a nice, steady, slow but cognitive, methodical path.
That's what I thought. I just needed confirmation from the expert. Okay.
Very good.
So yesterday we talked and he mentioned me calling him, and I told him that I think about you all the time. And he said, "Well, you know, you can call me, but don't call me all the time." And it was like a joke.
It's not a joke. He set his boundaries. He told his truth.
Yes, but I'm saying he said it jokingly. You know, it was lighthearted, but I understood. I understood. So my question is, I tried to do the communication, you know, your way, which is, well, I don't remember, but I tried to say like how many times and stuff like that. But he wasn't really. That's when he said, "Don't call me all the time."
Well, so make it not more than 2 to 1. So he calls you twice, but always call him back. Don't torture men. If somebody calls you, like if a friend, anybody calls you, you respectfully call them back.
Yes. I always do. And usually it's like if I miss the call, I call them right back. So I don't do that.
But you can. But
what I thought.
You call them right back. It's okay to call them right back. Oh, good.
I do call him right back. Mm-hmm. My question is, when he calls, like he called Wednesday, today is Thursday. So I was like, okay, well, I'll call him Friday. So I'll give a day, 24 hours in between before I initiate a call. Is that good?
That's good, but sometimes we like 2-1, him twice and you one.
Oh, okay. Okay. God, I hope I can do that.
You have control of your bodily functions, which is picking up the phone and dialing.
I know, but I have to wait 2 phone calls. Now, I feel like, okay, so let me explore.
What is he accustomed to? First of all, you don't want to change a pattern that has been set. So have you previously called him? He called you last time. You spoke. And now it's been a couple of days, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
What was the pattern before? Yeah, what's the pattern been?
The pattern has been, I just let him initiate all the calls.
Well, let's just to keep with the pattern, okay? Keep with a pattern that's been set, and he seems to like that.
Even though he said you can call me?
Yeah, I thought he said to call her.
You can call him, but we make it like 2-1. But if you want to call him in 3 days, call him in. If he said so, you can call me. Just don't overdo it. He made it clear.
Yeah,
right. But Patricia, I'm trying to get to. Like, I want to know. Like, wait every 3 days to call him or what?
I don't think there's any time. I get a lot of women where the guys, they do want a lady reaching out once in a while. It doesn't have to be a certain day and time. If you feel comfortable and you want to just say, hey, hope you're having a great day, that's just reaching out to say how he's doing.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Okay. Keep it simple.
Okay. All right, that means I'm overthinking this. All right.
Yeah, good point. Let's not overthink everything.
I don't want to start getting in. You have to call them every Tuesday and Thursday or something.
No.
Yeah, okay. All right, I think that's my question.
good.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. A lot of repeat callers. Yeah, okay. Well. It's for the if anybody's listening, we're doing the dream interpretation. The number is 323-203-0815. Patricia was going to be doing the 5 o'clock hour. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, that is me, Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge. And I'm a transactional analyst and I specialize in dreams. And I've been doing it for 25 years, and I have a wonderful book called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And we get into it, and we've had some demonstrations for those of you who are just turning in. Somebody just called a couple minutes ago and shared a good dream. How our dreams correlate to our waking life, and how our dreams and the messages that come from our dreams help us navigate our lives and the choices we make, whether it be in relationships, business, family affairs. It's all there in our subconscious mind, and the dreams and the dream world is a direct link from your own subconscious mind to your conscious mind and your waking life. So once you develop this practice, and I call it a practice because you get better at it over time, people say to me, oh, I don't dream, or if I do, I don't remember them. Well, it's a practice, and we teach how to capture your dreams, and it's in Chapter 7, by the way, how to capture your dreams, and you want to plant the seed, like the previous caller said. She was thinking about something that she was ruminating on, and the answers come through. So you can write yourself a little message and put it by your pad by your bed,
say you want an answer to a dilemma or an issue or a relationship question, and your subconscious mind will indeed work on it for you. You don't have to even think about it any further. But the dreams come to you in terms of symbols. But the trick is to capturing it is to keep your eyes closed upon waking. And that is this 3 to 4 minute period called the Lyman state. But there is a 3 to 4 minute period where you're in that state of consciousness between sleeping and waking, this interim state, like the twilight zone. And you can start to see an image, two images, a whole scenario. Like I say, with practice, the whole scenario is unfold. But even if you see one image, you write it down with your eyes closed. Don't open your eyes yet. Because the second you open your eyes, you're out of that state of consciousness. And you will build upon this practice. And the Lyman state, this interim state, this twilight zone, only lasts 3 to 4 minutes anyway, but it won't last at all if you open your eyes. The second you open your eyes, you're out of that state and everything disappears. People always say, oh, I had a dream, but I don't remember what it was. Or they say, I had the craziest dream. Everybody calls, oh, I had a wild dream. And the wild dreams are translatable. It's like a message in a bottle that you find on the seashore. And you open it up and you go, great, there's a message. I'm getting a message. And it's written in Greek. Okay, well, you take it to the translator and I help you decipher what this message is and how it correlates to your waking life and what you can do about it. The subconscious mind is always trying to help us navigate our lives. And this is a very direct line to being able to find answers that we are seeking.
True, true. I don't know if we have any callers here. If anybody has a dream, 323-203-0815. So, Patricia, tell us a little bit more about.
Yes. Well, one thing I like to reiterate, and it goes directly from Dr. Pat's work, how we correlate in the dream world, the masculine and the feminine. So there was the last caller who had a dream that we talked about. What her dream represented was something to do with the masculine side of her life, which is the business, productive, financial side of her.
We have a caller on. Oh, caller, you're on the air with Patricia Elton. Do you have a dream?
I do, and I called in already, but I realized no one else was calling in for dreams. And I had two dreams this past week that were very wild, as you say.
Okay. I love them. If they're the wilder, the better.
Okay. And they're incest as well. So,
okay. Well, that does, it's not, I'll just preface that by saying they're not really about sex. No, typically sex dreams, there are the occasional wet dream, but typically sexy seeming dreams aren't really about that. So let's have it.
Yeah, so the latest one that I had a few days ago was with a cousin. I didn't grow up with him, but he was in, you know, different states, but like closest with the family. But I was in this room and we were not having sex, but we were rolling around in the bed and it was very passionate. It was very intimate. Mm. And I think that we were going to have sex and then someone called me out of the room. And I did, and I was wearing a red bra, and I remember feeling a little bit of shame, and it was as if they knew what was happening, and I tried to play it off, and I might have even said, like, oh, well, we didn't have sex. Like, that was the feeling that I remember, and so there was that one with a cousin, and then
let's finish this dream. So I would like to know the cousin character type, because everyone in your dreams represents an aspect of yourself. So let's see what that character is that represents some aspect of you. What would you say his main attributes or character type is? How would you describe him in a nutshell?
Outgoing and loud, mm-hmm. and center of attention type of guy. Uh-huh.
Okay, so what is going on in your waking life where you are feeling like the center of attention and you're craving it or wanting or are? What's going on in your waking life where that is that part of you, how you're feeling like being the center of attention and being so outgoing, this feeling that you're having? What's gone on in your life just prior to this dream that will give you that feeling that you were like that?
I work on camera sometimes, and I film. And mm-hmm. so that's the first thing that came up when you asked me that. And mm-hmm. I'm also initiating my mm-hmm. own project.
Are feeling like this. So you are having this feeling that's very passionate about. So you're feeling the passion. And you said you're wearing a red bra. Well, red is the color red is the root chakra. And that is connected to courage, power, strength, love. The root chakra is associated with your human foundations and the crucial need in life to be grounded. So you are feeling this. It's a very powerful color in that sense. Mm-hmm. And here you're feeling very outgoing and very up front and center. But then at the same time, I want to know why, even though you have all that going for you, what in you is holding you back? Is there something in the back of your, do you have some guilt about your potential success?
Not that I'm aware of, but maybe in my subconscious, because there is a feeling of like that I've done well, but that mm-hmm. I haven't done what I can and haven't really fulfilled my full potential. I have that feeling.
Mm-hmm. This dream tells me that there's something that's holding you back though, but it's not something outside of you. It's something within you that you can work on.
Okay.
There's some piece of you, but maybe the next dream, because dreams come in sequences. So let's hear the next dream and maybe we'll learn more. Were they in the same night or?
No, same week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's hear the next
one. Same week. And the reason I wanted to share that one with you is because in that dream, I was having this very sensual, sexual type of thing with one of my sisters. Mm-hmm. And we were rolling around in bed and kissing. And it's...
What's her character type?
She's a little more sheepish. Mm-hmm. So she's a little kind of... like mm-hmm. the opposite, quiet.
But she in this dream represents the masculine side of you. So there's part of you where you feel from the first one, you feel the outgoing side of you and the passion for what you're doing. But then there's this other side of you where you're overthinking, and that's what's holding you back is being in your head. So now we found out where it is that you are shortchanging yourself. You're in your head and you start grappling up in your head and overthinking. Hmm. So you're rolling around and you say you're making out and everything, but you are becoming more attached to your masculine side in this dream. She in this dream represents your masculine side, and you are bonding and connecting with your thinking, your rational side, your work, your business. So are you androgynous because you have the passion and the feeling centered side, but then you have the ability to produce and actually go forth and do it. So this, in some ways, these two dreams represent your androgyny, which is a balance between your masculine and feminine, but making sure that you don't, well, I don't want to put value judgment on you. Would you call yourself a woman with a career or a career woman?
I feel I've lived most of my life thinking that I was a career woman. And as I've been wanting to integrate my feminine and wanting to be the feminine in a relationship, I've been shifting into a woman with a career.
Well, that's what two dreams are doing. You're bouncing back and forth. It's exactly what's mm-hmm. happening here with these two dreams. Those are very good dreams to see the juxtaposition of when you're in your masculine and when you're in your feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So correlate what was going on in your life prior to the dream when you were rolling around with the male figure, and then correlate what was going on in your life just prior to grappling, rolling around with the female figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll know where you're at different times.
Yeah, they were pretty close together. So I feel like what you said a little bit ago about something about the feminine, what came to me was I've been really aware that I've shut down my feminine, and I've been really wanting to integrate my feminine and call forth my feminine because I've lived in my masculine for so long. Mm-hmm. So I mm-hmm. feel like these two dreams are related to that from what I hear you say.
Absolutely. And then you can decide at any given time, because we are all both masculine and feminine energies, and we can call upon our masculine when we need it. We can to be productive, to work, to earn money, to manage our business, and to reside and be rooted in our feminine energy, which is the divine feminine for us women born in a female body, so that we don't become out of balance.
Okay. And the fact that the sister that represented the more sheepish, the more quiet masculine, does that say anything about my masculine, or is it just she was just a good way to represent the masculine in general?
She was the way, but she's you, okay. But her personality or her character type is where your masculine isn't overriding your feminine in these two cases. It's there. You have it to call upon, to utilize, and be in your masculine when you need it. But it's not an overpowering masculine. It seems like it's in check.
Yeah, it's very quiet, or she's very quiet and mm-hmm. usually calm.
So okay. Your masculine is there, and you're bonded with it. You own it, but you're owning it in a way that seems to me healthy and not overpowering your feminine side.
Yeah, I'm watching it now. But yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Great dreams.
That was a caller from before as well.
Great. Okay. Well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Again, if anybody has a call, I think somebody texted me. They might be calling in a little bit. 323-203-0815. I do have a dream to go over. Somebody emailed.
She said,
in my dreams, I wore a brand new pair of yellow Vans sneakers. Mm. The brand, I'll tell you. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a dream?
I think somebody went off. They left. Oh. In and out.
Oh, here they are. Caller, mm-hmm. do you have a dream?
Hi, I actually have three short dreams.
Okay, well, let's start with number one in sequence.
Okay, so the first dream was last Thursday.
I was flying to New York City. I was actually in person doing this. And then I had a dream when I dozed off on the airplane. Mm-hmm. So the dream, I dreamt that the plane got struck by lightning and it woke me up with a cramp going up the back of my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week, or actually, let's see, so Thursday, and then almost a week later, I had another dream. I was swimming in the ocean with like male and female. There was a bunch of us around, and a jellyfish came up behind me and it stung me on the back of the neck. And I woke up with another giant cramp in my neck.
Okay. Well, the first dream to me is very clearly stating that when you're up in the air, whether it be in high buildings, airplanes, anything that's up, you're in your head. So in this dream, mm-hmm. you're being flagged that you're in your head more than what is good for you. You're overthinking things. And it's going to bite you, and it's going to it's going to cause you pain by overthinking things. Now, let's go to the next dream. You said, okay, so then you had another dream, very similar, but this time you're not up in the air. You're in water, and you are with other people. Those are thoughts and feelings when you're with both males and females. And you get stung by a jellyfish. Now, a jellyfish is a sea creature, and it's a dangerous sea creature. So you are feeling, to me, that besides the first dream said you were overthinking things, now you are sensing that you're going to be stung, so to speak, in the area of relationship. Because water elements in dreams represent our sensual, sexual relationship side of life. So I'm sensing that you are having a fear of getting stung in relationship.
Okay.
So what are you doing in life that you feel in jeopardy of getting stung in relationship and then have a tendency to overthink everything? What do you want to be doing in the relationship side of life right now? Are you going towards wanting to be in a relationship? Are you in a relationship? So what is your direction right now?
So right now I'm duty dating.
Okay.
To find a partner to be in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. So you, in the back of your mind, you are telling me that you have a trepidation of getting stung. So I don't get the sense that you're all in.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I realized I just messed up and I forgot to tell you the dream I had the night before, the airplane one.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if this will change what you think about the relationship, if the sensual sexual relationship could be tied to
mm-hmm.
the past, what mm-hmm. I used to be attracted of. But mm-hmm. let me tell you, I forgot that part. I know you said say it in order and mm-hmm. the singing in the next was more exciting,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So then the night before I had a dream, I was at a hotel and my father was checking in the hotel and he left my bags nearby, just like by a couch, some furniture. And mm-hmm. I was standing waiting for him to check in and I noticed that a man without a uniform grabbed my bags and started to go into the elevator. And I went into the elevator and grabbed my bags back from him. And then he stayed in the elevator behind a curtain and my dad went in there. And then later I walked into the room that we checked into and that man and my father were having sex.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When we come to suitcases and wallets and purses and things like that, that's our identity.
So you're having a fear in your subconscious mind. You're having a fear of giving up your identity or your identity being taken from you. So I'm guessing that you are not guessing. I'm seeing that you are have a trepidation of and your father in this dream doesn't really represent your father. It represents an aspect of yourself. Now, is he a trustworthy person, the father image, or is this somebody? Can you describe his character?
I would say. He did the best that he could with the life that he was given, but
no, that's not what I asked. No, I asked his character type, not trying to make nice.
Well, I would say no. We had a very unhealthy childhood with him.
Okay, so
this is a
character. So what was his position in the dream?
He was checking in for us at the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you are coming into this dream with your scripted side of yourself, your scripted feelings of non-safety, an unsafe feeling. You're checking in. The side of you is still unsettled and unhealed from your wounds from growing up and not being in a safe environment, emotionally safe environment. Am I right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so now this will taint your relationships because you will always be afraid until you clear this up and work on this. You will always be working or thinking and feeling that you will be stung, and now the dreams are tying together, that your identity can be taken and you can get stung and you don't feel safe. You have PTSD, so to speak, and it will show up in your dating world, and you're not going to feel trust. But we don't want someone to trust blindly. We want you to find somebody who you can build a trustworthy record with. And that way you can feel safe.
Got you. So is it any sort of a good sign that I was in an airplane in my head the first time I got stung and then I went down into the ocean is being down in the ocean,
yes.
Is that more into your feelings?
Yes. Then you decided to get out of your head a bit. You were out of your head at least by then. But then you still on the gut level. So not only are you in your head on one level, when you finally get into your feelings about relationships, you have a trepidation. You have a feeling of trepidation that you could get stung. That it won't go well.
And do you think any of this could be from daily life having to deal with my father in a really toxic situation at the moment? Could be with feeling like I'm going to be stung by him again and not necessarily a romantic partner, but in that relationship.
No, it bleeds over to your romantic life because the father is the person who represents your how you will view men in your life. So we want to work on this and clear it up. So that, and just by talking about it and being aware of these dreams is an excellent way to get to your post-traumas, understanding what's going on and how you're reacting to life so that one day you can meet somebody and hopefully they will be a trustworthy person and demonstrate to you that they won't sting you.
Got you. Okay. So interesting.
Always interesting, the dream world.
Okay. Thanks
so
for
calling. I thought I better call Patricia, make sure I'm not going to have like a neck, I don't know, accident or something. Maybe it's
no, they're good. No. It's a premonition. It's a premonition that your subconscious mind is working for you to help you overcome your childhood that wasn't a safe place.
Got it. Well, love it. You guys are amazing. Thanks so much for your interpretation, as always.
Thank you, caller. Call us back next week. Bye.
Okay.
I think we have one more caller, and then I do have this dream to go over.
Okay.
Sam had one more caller. Let's see if he puts it through.
Okay.
Do you want me to try the dream now or wait to see if he calls?
Either way. Okay. I'm just sitting here.
Okay. Okay. This is in my dreams. I wore a brand new pair of yellow. Oh, here she is. Again. Okay. The next one, we're going to do it after this caller. You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream you want to share?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hi, Patricia. Yeah, I've been following your program and I have your book. And I do have a dream question tonight. So here it is. Should I just go ahead and tell you?
Oh, you just spit it right out.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like I was working in my garden. It was my garden in the dream, but I don't have a garden in reality. And fixing some plants. And then I went upstairs into this house, which is my house in the dream. A neighbor appeared and he said, "Hey, you need to get that Goodwill box you have over the corner of the property off of there." You know, and I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm just emptying it out, you know. And he said, "No, you need to do this now." And he pulled out a gun and he pulled the trigger, but it just clicked. You know, it didn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
And and then two other men came up separately and they had some problems that they wanted me to fix related to my work. It was kind of chaotic. I had things to do in my house and these people coming up. So that is the dream as I recall it.
Well, this is good because you're grounded. You're in the earth and you're occupying your time, but you're grounded. You're very close to the earth. And we like that. Now you're going into the house. Now the house represents the self, the total person, the capital S, meaning your total psyche, your subconscious and your conscious mind. So that is, being said, since there's males in this is a feeling centered dream, and the of you feeling threatened or under, let's put it this way, are you feeling under the gun in some aspect of your life where you feel like, is there some kind of pressure where you're, is there some kind of time element or where you're pressed and under the gun, so to speak?
That's great that you found that literal symbolic connection. But yeah, I mean, I have deadlines in my job and I have lots of people making demands on me and I'm trying to take care of everything at once, it seems.
Well, yeah. There you go. So this dream is just a barometer of where you're at and how you're feeling. This is a feeling-centered dream because it's men in the dreams. But so it's a barometer and an outlet and just a message to you to manage your stress because your psyche is telling me that you're feeling under the gun. Okay.
Yeah.
I know
that resonates. That does resonate. So I appreciate your help. I just figure out how to sort things out. So
very
thanks
good.
Again. All right.
Thank you, caller.
Be well.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's get this dream done. This is Ale. Okay.
Yes, finally.
No, that was the last caller. Okay. Good. In my dream, I wore a brand new pair of yellow Van sneakers. The brand Van is a kind of surfer skateboard shoe, even though I've never owned a pair. In my dream, my sister also had a similar yellow pair. My pair got dirty with soil, so I cleaned them off and they became brand new again. In the same dream, I was asked by my dad to go play golf, but I took too long to get ready and it was dark out, so I could no longer go. I also didn't want to get grass stains on my new shoes.
I love colors in dreams again, and shoes is another form of a way through life. There's vehicles are a way through life too, like cars and every kind of vehicle, but so are shoes. And in this person's way through life, it is something that is athletic and fun, skateboarding shoes, and it's the color yellow is associated with the solar plexus of the body. It's the primary source of personal power and associated with the individual's real life and professional success. But there is a fun aspect about the way, their way through life that they're seeking. And they don't want, on the other hand, that when they say about going to golf, but it doesn't quite happen, with the dad, well, there's some kind of procrastination here where they're dragging your heels and didn't get there on time. It's golf doesn't sound like so much fun, and you can't wear your sneakers if you go play golf. And this person wants to have a good time. And so I'm going to ask this person in their waking life, what do they're not here, but I would ask them, what is it they're doing in their waking life where they're wanting to make sure they enjoy what they're doing and going through life, also having it be fun and not tainting it with.
She did write down, she wrote something down, in my real life, I've been trying to make a decision about whether to move back to the U.S. or not. What job I should change to.
Well, the band
shoes. And she has a second dream too, but it's a short one.
Okay, well, that's way through life. And I would help this person make that decision. They're not me. I'm not the one choosing. Their own subconscious mind tells me, choose, follow your bliss. Follow your bliss. Follow where you would be blissful and be in a fun place. Van sneakers. By the way, I'm aware of what Van sneakers are. I came from California. That's the California sun and the
shoes.
That's
where they originate. That's
where
they're
from. They originated in Southern California, Los Angeles. Yeah. So at the beach area. So this. Pay attention to your dream because it's trying to guide you where your subconscious, your true self wants to be. Okay, let's have it.
Yeah. Okay, the second dream's just short. It says, second dream, big bears were sleeping in a beautiful old Victorian mansion, and I was trying to not wake them up.
You're trying not to. Well, bears are a masculine image, and if they're large. When something is large in a dream, it means it's important, and it's something to really pay attention to. That it can be scary. So, and the old Victorian mansion, again, a house represents the self, but it's old. So maybe the old, you don't want to. You know how they say, let sleeping dogs lie? You're trying not to wake the scary masculine side of yourself that's going to make a decision based on your head. Your first dream says follow your bliss, and your second dream says don't wake the ogre in a way.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, this call, I was just letting the audience know, if you can't be on the radio because some people have a difficult time zone, you can always email me your dreams and I'll read them on the show like today, and then you can listen to the archives. It is better to have it done personally because then Patricia can ask you other questions to help her. But if you can't join us live, then please email questions.
And you said that this person was from another, they wrote in because
from,
they were
from London,
time.
I believe.
Well,
yeah,
I
London.
Get calls. I have clients all over the world. I have people calling me from Australia, Holland, England, France. So if this caller gets.
If they want to have a private
yes,
dream interpretation, do you want to give them your info to reach you?
Yes. My website is thedreamclass.com, and they can reach me through that website, and I always get back. So reach out and see what we can come up with.
I just want to, starting in April, we're going to have Dr. Pat Allen's show back from 4 to 4:50. And then at 5 o'clock, Patricia's going to start her own dream interpretation radio show. So it will be 1 hour from 4 to 4:50. And then Patricia will have her dream interpretation from 5 to 5:50. Do you want to share a little bit about that and what you'll be doing?
Yes. Well, I'll be doing basically this, explaining a little bit about how the dreams come, how and why the dreams come to us, and the importance of wanting to understand your dreams and get into how they, our dreams are helping us navigate our personal lives for our personal growth and transformation. And it's all in there in our subconscious mind, whether we know it or not. And I help you drag it out.
You sure do. As we've seen and heard in the last couple of callers that were shocked about what they found out.
Well, it helps you to move along. You know, yeah. our dreams are trying to help us move along so we don't stay stuck.
Figure things out. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you advertise your book where they could purchase your book on Amazon?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I heard that.
The Dream Class is found on Amazon. And my name as the author is Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge. And it's a beautiful coffee table book as well, because there are also, besides all the fabulous information, there are 22 of my dreamlike photographs and also beautiful color segment on the various meanings and correlations of colors. And I think I have over 40 five-star reviews. So if you do get my book, all 5-star reviews are appreciated.
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to be closing down now for the night. Do you have anything you want to share with the audience before we close the show?
Thank you. I do. I do want to share that all dreams wish us well, even if they sometimes have scary images. Mm-hmm. I don't like to use the word nightmares because they're just scary images that are bringing us a meaningful message to move us along.
Thank you. So good night, audience. We'll see you next week, next Thursday. Write down your dreams so you can call Patricia and have them interpreted. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.